الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a person who sends 1,000 times daily durood or salutations or salawat upon me, he will not die till he sees his place in Jannah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, once again we welcome you into this beautiful silsila of Madani channel, Blessings of Hadith. As usual, inshallah azza wa jal, we will discuss few ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we will give explanation and commentary on those ahadith. وعن جابرين قال خلت البقاع حول المسجد فأراد بنو سلمة أن ينتقلوا قرب المسجد فبلغ ذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال لهم بلغني أنكم تريدون أن تنتقلوا قرب المسجد قالوا نعم يا رسول الله قد أردنا ذلك فقال يا بني سلمة دياركم تُكْتَبُ آثَارُكُمْ دِيَارَكُمْ تُكْتَبُ آثَارُكُمْ رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمْ This hadith is reported by Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that around the masjid, that is Masjid al-Nabawi, some houses got emptied and Banu Salama is a tribe. So the people from that tribe, they desired that let's go and reside in the neighborhood of the masjid. When this news reached to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Banu Salama that, O Banu Salama, I have been informed that you want to come and live next to the masjid. They said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, we have intended that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Banu Salama, stay in your homes. Your footsteps are being written. Stay at your homes. Your footsteps are being written. This tribe, Banu Salama, is an Ansar tribe. They are Ansaris. And their houses were quite far away from Masjid al-Nabawi. So when few houses got emptied close to the masjid, they desired to come and live near the masjid. They did not build a masjid in their own locality because their preference was to go and read namaz behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Masjid al-Nabawi. That was their love and dedication for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed them that stay at your homes. Your footsteps are being counted, they are being written. It means that in your book of deeds, sawab is written. More steps you take towards the masjid, more sawab you get. Preachers will talk about you. And your story would be recorded in the books of ahadith, that these people lived so far away from masjid, but they used to take a walk and come and read namaz in the masjid. And you will get sawab for that, because there will be many who will be motivated and they'll get encouraged because of your practice. And this would actually remove the carelessness and heedlessness from many people. So for this reason, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Banu Salama that stay in your homes, even though your homes are a bit far away from the masjid, but you get more sawab because you take more steps in walking and you put more effort in order to come to the masjid to perform your ibadat. And this tells us that if you are living far from masjid and you come regularly to the masjid, you take a walk or you use other mode of transportation, but you come to the masjid, you will get more sawab. But also keep in mind that this is for the muttaqeen, people of taqwa who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those who are ghafil, those who are careless, for them it is better to live close to the masjid. Otherwise they will not come to the masjid and they will start missing their jama'at. And we have seen that happening very much and very often. People who live far away from the masjid, they don't come to the masjid. But people of taqwa, those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is good for them if they live far away from the masjid, because they would be punctual and they will be coming regularly to the masjid and they will get more sawab. وعن أبي هريرة قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سبعة يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله إمام عادل وشاب نشأ في عبادة الله ورجل قلبه معلق بالمسجد إذا خرج منه حتى يعود إليه ورجلين تحاب في الله اجتمع عليه وتفرق عليه ورجل ذكر الله خاليا ففاضت عيناه ورجل دعته امرأة ذات حسب وجمال فقال إني أخاف الله ورجل تصدق بصدقة فأخفها حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه متفق عليه. This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim. This hadith is reported by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that seven people would be under the shade of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal on that day when there will be no shade. One is just king. And number two is that young man who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his youthhood. And that person whose heart is stuck in the masjid after he leaves the masjid till he comes back. And those two people who love each other for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, when they get together and they separate from each other on that love. And that person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his privacy alone, and he shed tears from his eyes. And that person who is being invited by a beautiful woman who belongs to a great or a noble family, and he says to her, I fear Allah Azza wa Jal. And the person who gives charity hiddenly, that his left hand does not know what his right hand has given. This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim. The meaning that these seven people would be under the shade of Allah Azza wa Jal when there will be no shade, it means that they will be under the shade of the arsh, the throne of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Because on the day of judgment, there will be sunshine. And sun would be very close to the earth. It is reported that sun would be about 1.25 miles away from the earth, and earth would be made of copper, and it would be very hot. And to have shade at that time, it is really a blessing. So these 7 people will get shade of the arsh of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of judgment, when there will be no shade. And one amongst them is the just king, a king who does justice, who does not oppress his subjects, and he lives on top of his subjects or his country like a shadow. He looks after them, he covers them. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide shadow to him on the day of judgment. And this just king is greater than all other categories. That's why his name is mentioned before the other 6 categories. And all those rulers or people in any department who are in the position of making decisions, they also get this good news if they are just and they deal with people with justice, whether they are police officers or they are judges or qazi or in whichever important position they are. If they deal with people with justice, they also get this good news, and they will also be provided the shade of the throne of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of judgment. And then the person who refrains from sins at his youth age. When person is young, his body is powerful, his body parts are powerful, and person is attracted towards sins. At that time, if he says no to sins, he makes a choice. He stands up on his feet and very firmly he says, I'm young and I can do ibadat. When I'm old, then my body would not be so powerful and I would not be able to do extra ibadat. So he spends his youthhood in the ibadat of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. He will be under the shade of the arsh of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So, the ibadat in youth age is better than the ibadat in old age. Hazrat Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says, Dar jabani tauba kardan shewa-e peygambari waqt-e peeri gurg zalim me shavad parhezgar. That to repent or to make ibadat in the youth age is the way and the path of the prophets alayhi wasalam. And at the old age, even that oppressing wolf or killer animal or prey animal also repents, because they are unable to hunt, they are unable to harm any other animal. So when you are young, you are youth, you make tawbah and you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that age, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide you the shade of His arsh on the day of judgment. And then, a person whose heart is stuck in the masjid, that when he comes to the masjid, he performs his salat, he doesn't feel like leaving, but he has to leave, he got other commitments, maybe he got business, some family issues that he has to attend to. But when he is out, he is waiting for azan to be called so he can come back. So he loves to be in the masjid. He wants to be the first one in the masjid and he wants to be the last one to leave the masjid. So that person is given this good news that he will be provided the shade of the arsh of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of judgment. And then those two people who love for Allah and who hate for Allah. So they are such people, they love that person with whom Allah is pleased, and they hate that person with whom Allah is displeased. So this is actually a very high standard of faith, very high standard of iman. So if your friend, your relative, who is fasiq, who has corrupt beliefs, then you cut off from him. And if your enemy is muttaqi, you go and join him. So this way, you would be loving for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and you would be hating for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is very high level of iman, and it is very difficult to practice this part, because these days we love each other for the sake of family bond, for relationships, for business ties, or for other social ties that we have with each other, but not for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, not for the sake of Deen. So the person who practices that, he would be given the shade of arsh of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal on that day when there is no shade. And then the person who makes ibadat in privacy when he is alone, and then he cries with the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, or he cries with the ishq and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And why it is being mentioned that alone or in privacy, it is because when person cries in front of others, there is possibility of riya, there is possibility of showing off. But this does not mean that every person who is overwhelmed with spiritual feelings, and if he cries, even if he is in front of people, or even if he is in the public, we cannot make assumptions and say that he is crying because he wants to show off. We don't know what is in his heart, so we must not be judgmental about that person's situation. But the ideal situation is that person must be alone, and then he thinks of his sins, and he cries, and he repents, and for that reason he cries. Then inshallah Azza wa Jal, he will get the shade of the arsh of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal on that day when there is no shade. And then the other young man who is being invited by a beautiful woman, belongs to high class family, great family, and he says no. And this is very difficult to do that. Now, because he fears Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, no, I fear Allah. Inni akhafullaha. No, I cannot do that because I fear Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is a great sacrifice, and this is a great sabr and patience. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward such people very greatly. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, because he was being invited by the wife of the king of that time, Aziz Misr. But Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam said categorically, no, I fear Allah Azza wa Jal. So these are such people who will be provided the shade of the arsh of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the person who gives charity hiddenly, that his left hand doesn't know what his right hand has given. This refers to nafli charity, optional charity. as far as the fard or obligatory charity is concerned, which is zakat, or if there is a donation being done in the public, some Islamic project need to be accomplished, and in public or in the masjid or in a hall or in some get together, Muslims are being asked to give their donations and charities. So at that occasion, to give your charity openly with announcement. So first charity, and at the time when a donation is being done for a particular project in Muslim community, for example, for the masjid, for the madrasa, for jami'a, for darul uloom, then it is afdal, it is better to give charity openly. وعن أبي أسيد قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل أحدكم المسجد فليقل اللهم افتح لي أبواب رحمتك وإذا خرج فليقل اللهم إني أسألك من فضلك رواه مسلم. حضرت أبو أسيد رضي الله تعالى عنه reports that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, when someone comes to the masjid, someone amongst you comes to the masjid, he should say, O Allah, open the doors of your mercy upon me. And when he exits the masjid, when he leaves the masjid, then he must say, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlika. O Allah, I beg you for your blessings. And in Abu Dawood, the riwayat which is there, it is also said that when one puts his foot in the masjid, one should say, Bismillahi wassalamu ala rasulillahi. Then read that dua, Allahumma iftah li abwaaba rahmatik. Keep in mind that a Muslim comes to the masjid only for ibadat, only to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he leaves the masjid, his purpose is to go and do his worldly things. For example, earn his rozi, earn his sustenance. So therefore, for coming to the masjid, it is suitable to say, Allahumma iftah li abwaaba rahmatik. And when one is leaving the masjid, it is suitable to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. وعن أبي قتادة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا دخل أحدكم المسجد فليركع ركعتين قبل أن يجلس. متفق عليه. This hadith is reported in Sahih Muslim and in Sahih Bukhari. Hazrat Abu Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, when any of you come to the masjid, you should perform two rak'at nafl salat before you sit in the masjid. So these two nafil which are being talked about, that is the nafl of tahiyyatul masjid, which is performed at the time of entering the masjid. But keep in mind that it must not be a makruh time or disliked time for nawafil. For example, if you came for fajr at the time of fajr, or if you came for maghrib at the time of maghrib, then these nawafil would not be performed. Also keep in mind that this hukm is for every masjid, not particularly for Masjid al-Nabawi, any masjid in the world. When you enter, and if it is not a makruh time, then you are recommended to perform two rak'at nafl of tahiyyatul masjid. And this is except Masjid-e-Haram. Because when you enter Masjid-e-Haram, then instead of reading Tahiyyatul Masjid, it is afdal and it is better to go and start tawaf straight away. And the khatib is also excluded from that order. Because on the day of Jum'ah, when khatib comes to the masjid, instead of reading nawafil, he should start khutbah immediately. وَعَنْ كَعَبِ ابْنِ مَالِكٍ قَالَ كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا يَقْدُمُ مِنْ سَفَرٍ إِلَّا نَهَارًا فِي الدُّحَى فَإِذَا قَدِمَ بَدَأَ بِالْمَسْجِدِ فَصَلَّى فِيهِ رَكْعَتَيْنِ ثُمَّ جَلَسَ فِيهِ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. This hadith is also in Sahih Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim. Hazrat Ka'ab ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala reports that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he used to return from any journey, he would come before noon and he would go to the masjid straight away. He would read 2 rak'at nafl salat and then he will sit there for a while. So from this hadith mubarakah, we learn 3 masail. Number 1, that when we are coming from a journey, our first stop should be masjid, not the house. And come at the time of the day, not in the night. But Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi says that in these days, since we have modern mode of communications, telephones, mobile phones, SMS system, emails, so many other ways of communicating, then there is nothing wrong to come during the night as well. Because we can inform our family that we are coming at this time and they can be prepared for you. So the whole idea of coming during the day, just before the midday, was so your family is up and they are prepared, the house is cleaned up, so they do not get any surprise and face any embarrassment. The second masala, one should come to the masjid before he goes to the house. And he should read nafl of qudum, that is arrival into his city or into his village, if the time is not makruh. And if it is a makruh time, so he should just sit in the masjid for a while. And the third masala which we learn, that one should stay in the masjid for a while and let people come and meet you in the masjid. So masjid should become a place for meeting of believers. And when believers meet each other for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, they love each other for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, that is ibadat. And this ibadat should be performed in the masjid, because masjid is made to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. وَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ سَمِعَ رَجُلًا يَنْشُدُ ضَالَّةً فِي الْمَسْجِدِ فَلْيَقُلْ لَا رَدَّهَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ فَإِنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لَمْ تُبْنَ لِهَذَا. This hadith is reported by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, any person who hears another person finding his lost property in the masjid, so you should say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must not return that to you. Masjids are not built for this purpose. The meaning of this hadith mubarakah is that when someone makes noise in the masjid, maybe he lost his watch, he lost some of his property, his ring, or maybe his shoes, and he is shouting and he is raising his voice and he is making announcements. Has anyone seen my shoes? Has anyone seen my wallet? So, in other words, he is causing disturbance for the people who are performing namaz in the masjid. But if someone tries to find his property quietly, he just goes around, moves around, looks here and there, that is not prohibited. Because the main idea is not to make noise in the masjid. So from here we learn that masajid are not built for this purpose. What is that purpose? To make noise. So therefore, to talk worldly things in the masjid, to make noise in the masjid, all that is prohibited. Masjids are built for the dhikr of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And what is being advised here, that فَلْيَقُلْ لَا رَدَّهَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ, that when you hear someone finding his things with, you know, loud voice or making noise, you should also tell him loudly so he can hear, that may Allah must not return your property to you. So he can learn a lesson and he must not repeat that again. And others who are sitting there, they can also know that this person who was making noise and looking for his property was doing wrong. So they can also be educated, and if something similar happens in their lives, so they must not make noise in the masjid. Therefore, some ulama ikram have said that it is not jais to give a beggar who is begging in the masjid. Because begging in the masjid, of course he will make noise, he'll tell people, please give me, I'm poor, help me, this, that. He'll be raising voice. And by giving him, you are cooperating on that sin with him. Therefore, it is not jais. And also keep in mind that performing nikah in the masjid, giving dini bayans and lectures, naat khani, dhikrullah, and the qaza or the decisions of qazi of Islam, all that is allowed in the masjid, because all these things are ibadat. You earn sawab on that. So masjid is built for ibadat. Therefore, all these things are allowed, but worldly talks, making noise, laughing, these type of things are not allowed in the masjid. Because there are many ahadith which suggest that dhikrullah, naat recital, decisions of qazi, setting up adalat or qaza in the masjid, that qazi of Islam, not any judge of these worldly laws. So that is allowed and sanctioned by Sharia. Wa an Jabirin, qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man akala min hadhihi shajaratil muntinati فَلَا يَقْرَبَنَّ مَسْجِدَنَا فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تَتَأَذَّى مِمَّا يَتَأَذَّى مِنْهُ الْإِنسُ. Hazrat Jabir رضي الله تعالى عنه reports that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, one who eats from this bad smelling tree, he should not come near to our masjid. Because angels are hurt from that from which the humans are hurt. It means that raw onions or garlic, that is the tree which is mentioned. So if you eat raw onions or raw garlic and come to the masjid, there will be bad smell in your mouth. So you should not go to the masjid in that condition. Even a person who smokes cigarette, hookah, shisha, you know, different names, or any other thing which causes smell, bad smell in the mouth, you are not allowed to enter masjid. You will become a sinner if you enter masjid with that condition. Even if there is bad smell in your clothes, or your underarm smells bad, or if you have bad breath, then too you are not allowed to come to the masjid. So if you have a bad breath, you need to get the treatment. You need to change your diet. It does help. So it is very important to take note of that masjids must be kept fragrant, must always have good smell, must always use good ithers and perfumes. And if you have a bad smell because of whatever the reason it might be, sometimes people wear socks and whole day they're working and they have closed shoes and they're perspiring, and then when they take out their feet from their closed shoes, that smells very bad. So please, dearest Islamic brothers, make sure that when you enter the masjid, you are clean and you smell good. And then hadith says that there are angels who are in the masjid, and they are the angels of mercy, and they have very delicate nature. So they cannot take the smell. They're different from the angels who are with you all the time. Because those angels who are with you all the time, of course you will smell bad sometimes, but it does not affect them because their nature is different. But the angels which are in the masjid, their nature is different. They're very delicate. So they are hurt when you smell bad. So make sure that you go to the masjid, you go clean with beautiful smell. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand the message of Quran and the message of hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and may he help us to practice upon it. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habib Allah.